Well, good to see you tonight. We're going to spend some time in God's Word. I invite you to open up your Bible or your Bible app, whichever, to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to look at one verse tonight, verse 5. This is our 23rd message going through the book of Philippians on Sunday evening. The title of tonight's message is called Sweet Reasonableness. Sweet Reasonableness. It sounds like something my wife would buy at Bath and Body Works, along with Moonlit Path and Whispering Rain and Lemon Gumdrops. Ladies, we love you, but you are weird. Okay? Sweet reasonableness. A scent at Yankee Candle, I don't know. Sweet reasonableness. My wife and I are just absolutely crazy about golden retrievers. Yep, Debbie's got a golden retriever, and we have a golden retriever named Brinley, and she's just so much fun. The traits of a golden retriever, they're always one of the top two or three favorite breeds of dog in the United States. The traits of, I just wrote some of them down from some different articles about golden retrievers. They're adorable. They're friendly with everyone. They're cheerful. They trust everyone. They remain puppy-like for many years. That is so true. They're eager to please. They're easily distracted by sights and sounds. They have robust bodies. If they're not trained, when you take them for a walk, you will get a bicep workout. They're the number three breed in the United States that will eat something and end up in the emergency room. That's what I was doing on July 4th at 12:30, ringing in Independence Day, sitting at the animal ER because sweet Brinley ate a paper towel. The Bible says this too shall pass, but that did not work in this instance. Paper towels used to disintegrate, no problem, but now paper towels are made like cloth and you don't care. But anyway, but it said this about golden retrievers. Their mind, the mind and the heart of a golden is sweet and gentle. A lot of different articles about them. They're usually one of the top, you know, one, two or three dogs as being the most gentle dogs, or known for their trait of gentleness. There's a lot of traits that you can describe dogs with. There's a lot of traits you can describe people with. There's a lot of traits you can describe followers of Jesus with. But that trait about sweet little Brinley and her fellow golden retrievers is a pretty good trait for all of us who follow Jesus. Our minds and our hearts should be sweet and should be gentle. The Bible teaches us that we're to be characterized by a sweet reasonableness, a gentleness. And I want us to study together and grow together in what that looks like and what that means and why it's so important that you and I be people of gentleness. We're going through the book of Philippians. It's a joyful journey. It's a book about Jesus, and it's a book about the joy that we have when Jesus is inside of us. We know him as our Savior. Paul is instructing this church on who they are in Christ, and he is inspiring this church on how they are to live for Christ. In chapter 4, we're continuing a series of commands. You might remember that these commands are pretty short, pretty simple, but they're absolutely essential to our daily living as a believer. The commands in chapter 4 are vital. The reason why Paul put them here, they're vital for harmony in the church, that we can have love and peace inside the church. If gentleness is not a trait running through the DNA of a church body, the church is going to have trouble. It's also a trait of gentleness. You and I can have joy in the world, joy in our lives, joy in our families, joy in our places of work. And it's also vital for our witness. To show this world that we belong to Jesus is to show this world this sweet reasonableness, this gentleness. Remember the context of chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 was our 21st message. The church of Philippi is Paul's sweetheart church. They're not a perfect church. No churches are. And he really came down upon two ladies in that church who were fighting with one another. And he really called them on the carpet about these members who were not getting along. And he called them to reconciliation in their life. Then our 22nd message was verse 4, which says, rejoice always in the Lord. I believe right after talking about these two ladies who are not getting along with each other, Paul is talking to them and to all believers that the attitude of a follower of Christ is to have joy in Jesus. We're not to be battling and bickering all the time. We're to have a joy in our Lord that glorifies the Lord. And now in verse 5, he goes to this. After talking about these ladies who need to get along, and after talking about rejoicing in the Lord, then he says this in verse 5, let your gentle spirit be known to all, the Lord is near. Or let your gentleness be known to all men, the Lord is at hand. Let me share with you four things about sweet reasonableness. Four things about gentleness from this one verse of scripture. Number one, the description of sweet reasonableness. The description of sweet reasonableness. Again, verse 5 says, let your gentleness be known to all men, the Lord is at hand. The key to this message, the key to this passage, the key to understanding and applying Philippians 4 verse 5 is we have to understand what does the word gentleness mean in verse 5. Well, it's the word epieikes. And its best, its most simplest definition is the title of this message. It literally means sweet reasonableness. Let your sweet reasonableness be known to all men, for the Lord is at hand. There's four other times in Scripture that God put this sweet reasonableness, this gentleness in His Word. One is 1 Timothy 3:3, giving to the qualifications of a pastor. It says, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy, a filthy lucre, but patient. That word patient is the same word we see here in verse 5, gentleness, not a brawler or covetousness. In Titus 3:2, once again, we see to speak evil of no man. Do not be brawlers, but be gentle. Same word, showing meekness unto all men. In James 3:17, it says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle. The same word. And easily entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. 1 Peter 2:18 is the final place we see this word. It says, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to do good and gentle, but also it talks about moving forward with that. This word gentleness, this sweet reasonableness, is a very rich word. It's really deep in its meaning. It's difficult to translate into one simple definition, because there's so much that's packed into this one word. Let me share with you what I found in my study of just this one word, gentleness. Again, we need the description of sweet reasonableness. We need to understand what this is saying. And as we go through this, remember, this is not an optional. God is not telling us to consider doing this. God is not telling us to try our best and do it better tomorrow. This is a command from God in His Word. He commands you and I, if Jesus is our Savior, we're to have gentleness in our life. We're to have a sweet reasonableness. Here's some of the things that's wrapped up in this word gentleness. First of all, number one, it means ready to forgive. It's a picture of when you and I are wrong that we give it to God and we don't seek revenge and we don't get even. Many people, when they're wronged, even followers of Christ, they become bitter and they want to get revenge. Maybe not some kind of physical revenge, but they'll certainly talk down the other person and try to get even with them in a lot of different ways. Abe Lemons was the former basketball coach of the Texas Longhorns several years ago, and he was fired from his job, and he was so mad at the Texas athletic director, DeLoss Dodds, who fired him. He asked one time, a news reporter asked the former basketball coach if he was bitter. He says, not at all, but I plan to buy a glass bottom car so I can watch the look on his face when I run him over. So I would say he was a little bitter. What this word means, gentleness, it means this. Before you are wrong, you've already decided to forgive. Gentleness means this. I know I live in an imperfect world, and I know I'm an imperfect people, and I know other people are not perfect. And I know if I rub shoulders long enough, especially in a church setting with people, somebody, either intentionally or unintentionally, is going to do something to wrong me or to wrong you. This word means before they ever even do it, I'm going to forgive them. Gentle people are not bitter. They don't keep lists. They don't carry grudges. They're ready to forgive. The second thing gentleness means is the yielding of personal rights and consideration of others. That's being Christ-like. That's what Jesus did when he went to the cross. He didn't insist on his rights. He gave them up so you and I could be free. So rather than suffer, I would rather suffer wrong in my own life than inflict a wrong in another life. I would rather me be mistreated than see someone else be mistreated. I'm going to yield my personal rights. I'm not going to stomp my foot and throw my hand up in the air and say, I've got my rights. And gentleness means that I am willing to yield that in consideration of others. The third thing that gentleness means, it means that you're easygoing and relaxed. In other words, it's someone that's not explosive, someone that's not defensive. There are sayings we have like, boy, he has a short fuse, which means they're like a firecracker. You light it, they fizz, and they'll just explode on you. People say, oh, he's got a chip on his shoulder. Your predisposition to get mad and to fight with someone, or a person becomes inflexible. And if you don't see it my way or do it my way, I'm going to get mad about it. That's not gentleness. Gentleness for a believer means that they're easygoing. Doesn't mean they're lazy. Doesn't mean they don't care. Doesn't mean they're not passionate. But they're easygoing and relaxed. There's a demeanor of calmness. There's a demeanor about them of peace. The fourth thing that gentleness means, again, this is a command, is a steady determination. Gentleness is not wishy-washy. A gentle person is not Sunday only with the church crowd. There's this steady determination. There's a much deeper thing going on inside of a believer that wants to be gentle. It's this steady resolve. You know, Abraham Lincoln, known for a lot of things, but he knew that he would be known for the Emancipation Proclamation. And when it was given to him noon on January 1st of 1863, it took him a while to sign it. He picked up his pen to sign it, then he set it down. He picked up his pen to sign it a second time and he set it down. It wasn't because he was hesitating to do what he knew was right to do. He had been shaking all that morning. His arm had been, he said, paralyzed, almost like being asleep. And he was so sensitive to the fact that if he signed his name and his signature looked kind of shaky, that people would think he was hesitant to do it. And Abraham Lincoln said he had such resolve. He said, I want my whole soul in this. He waited until the shakes went away and he boldly, firmly signed his name to that great, great piece of law. That's the picture of this gentleness. There's this steady resolve that I don't want anyone to have any doubts about where I stand. Gentleness, number five, it means to be big-hearted. It's a spirit that is so kind it can disarm an enemy. Can be in a situation where maybe tensions are high, but yet there's such a kind, gracious, sweet spirit that many times it disarms the enemy. Let me be clear. A gentle person is not weak. This gentleness, this meekness, if you will, a part of meekness does not mean weakness. It doesn't mean that we're weak. It doesn't mean we're doormats. It doesn't mean we compromise the truth. It means that they're sweet, but we'll stand. We'll be sweet as we stand. I mentioned our golden retriever, Brindley, earlier. Golden retrievers are one of the few dogs that will carry an egg in their mouth and not break it. They have a real gentle mouth, and God just designed them that way. You know, they duck hunt and grab a duck and whatever and don't crush it. But the bite force of a golden retriever is a little bit less than a pit bull. So they have a lot of power in those jaws. But yet they'll carry an egg and not crush it because their gentleness is under control. Their power is under control. That's what we're seeing here in big-hearted. Being a gentle person does not mean we're spineless. Doesn't mean we don't care. It doesn't mean we don't stand on what's right and stand opposed to what's wrong. It doesn't mean we're spineless. It means that we're selfless. We have a selfless, gracious kindness. Number six, what's wrapped up in gentleness, it speaks of courtesy and politeness. This is the description of sweet reasonableness. There's a courtesy and politeness. Someone wrote this, says, hi, my name is Common Courtesy. Allow me to introduce myself to you. I have excellent manners and social conduct. I am polite, respectful, considerate, civil, cordial, tactful, and gracious. I am also sadly lacking in society. In fact, some of you may have never met me before. This is an age of rudeness. Matter of fact, it's such an age of rudeness, if you lovingly confront someone that they're being rude, they'll tell you that you're rude. It's a culture of bullying and road rage and a loss of civility. There's a church in Tennessee. The pastor's name is Chad Roberts. He set up a website called Sundays Are the Worst. And he invited waiting servants. He invited waitresses and waiters who work on Sundays to send him all their notes about how the Sunday church crowd treat them. He wanted his church to see that those who claim Christ, that Sunday crowd, we shared this before. Do you know the number one days that waiters and waitresses try not to work is on Sundays? Because the Christian crowd do not tip, and they're typically really rude and mean to the waiters and the waitresses. You know, it made national news when a pastor in Missouri left a note to a waitress. It was a group of 10, and they automatically built in a tip. And he said, "I only give God 10%. Why should I give you 18%? Made national news. I have such respects for waitresses and waiters. They work so hard. And they said on this website about how people will leave them a fake track that looks like money but won't even give them a tip. Let me just say, if you're not going to give your waiter or waitress a really nice tip, please don't witness to them. If you don't leave a tip, don't leave a track. Anyway, they got he put up this website called Sundays Are the Worst because he wanted to show those waitress and waiters in restaurants that not all God's people are like that. Not all God's people just didn't get done singing Amazing Grace and then some waitress who's working hard because she forgot to refill the sweet tea, give her a scowl and an ugly look. He wanted to know that not everyone is like that. Believers, we are not to act rude. We're not to speak rude. We're to be polite, well-mannered people who we're supposed to be. If you put all this together, the picture that's packed into this command of being gentle, this sweet reasonableness, there's a lot packed into one word. Individual believers in Jesus, we walk in the real world, our jobs, our schools, our homes. You put it all together, we're to be ready to forgive, yielding the rights of ourselves, not explosive, but relaxed, big-hearted, kind, courteous, and polite, with a steady determination to keep doing it. Let me say that again. We're to be ready to forgive, yielding the rights of self, not explosive, but relaxed, big-hearted, kind, courteous, polite, and a steady determination to do that. You know who I just described to you? Ready to forgive, yielding their rights, not explosive, relaxed, big-hearted, courteous, polite, with a steady determination. I just described Jesus to you. So if we're gentle, we'll be like Jesus. And it gets the world attention. You talk about a witness. It's amazing what just gentleness and kindness can do for a witness. Number two, that's the description of sweet reasonableness. Number two, the expression of sweet reasonableness. We've looked at the description. Now it's the expression of sweet reasonableness. Look at the end of verse 5. Let your gentleness be known to all men. Sweet reasonableness is to be known to all men. Now, all means all. There are some people that being gentle with is very easy. There are some people being gentle with is very hard, but all means all. We're gentle people to those who love us, and we're gentle people to those who are unloving. We're gentle to those who are saved, and we're gentle to those who are unsaved. How do we make gentleness known to all men? It's what it says. Let your gentleness be known to all men. How do we let them know that? It's not by telling them. We don't walk up and say, "Hi, my name is Kenny, and I want you to know that I'm polite and gentle." No, that's weird. The way that we let our gentleness be known to all people is not by telling them, but by showing them. In the real world, in everyday life situations, not just a mission trip, just not serving in the church, at work, at school, in our neighborhood, on a Tuesday at 2:38, whatever, in the real world with real people doing real things, it's not saying it, but we show people our gentleness, the sweet reasonableness. Fox News yesterday, had a story so simple from a Chick-fil-A employee named Matthew Nunez in El Paso, Texas. I don't know if you saw this story. It was a very stormy day, pouring rain. And in the downpour, he had this really large umbrella. He got soaked, but he was just simply helping people in and out of the Chick-fil-A with this big umbrella in the middle of a rainstorm. There was a high school student who recorded him helping people on his phone in and out, and he posted it. Remember, it says that your gentleness will be known to all men. It's already been viewed 2 million times on Twitter. Just someone helping people in and out of a Chick-fil-A with an umbrella. Because when you do something kind and gentle, the way the God wired the world, it's known to all men. I mean, 2 million viewers on Twitter, and this high school student that posted it said, hands down, the best service ever. And when Matthew Nuno saw that posted about him, he responded with two words, my pleasure. Because he's from Chick-fil-A. My pleasure. Okay, anyway, that's what he really said. Yeah, we see in Genesis 13 that men will know our kindness and our gentleness. They know our example. You might remember the example between followers of Jehovah God. You had, and unbelievers were watching, you had Abraham, you had Lot, but Abraham had this sweet reasonableness. He knew that others, Lot's and his men and Abe's men, there were this land. It said in verse 7 of Genesis 13, there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham and strife between the herdsmen of Lot. But it said this, that the Canaanites dwelt in the land. So what did Abraham say? He says, hey, let there be no strife between you and for me. Abraham could have said, hey, listen, you little punk, to Lot. But no, he was gentle because he knew that the lost world was watching. And he knew that more than having his rights and putting Lot in his place and all those sort of things, what was more important was to guard the witness of Jesus Christ. It's vital, folks, see our gentleness. Our gentleness is known to all men. That's the expression. We put Jesus on display by how we act. We are walking Jesus billboards. You know, advertising is all about attracting customers. And in this world of where there's a rudeness and a lack of civility and a me first and all those sort of things, sweet reasonableness, I'm telling you, it attracts people to Jesus Christ. It's amazing. The power of gentleness and kindness when we treat other people that way, how it points them to Christ. Tom Rainer, you know the saying, good deeds, that's gentleness, kindness, good deeds create goodwill, which opens the door to share the good news. We're not manipulating people. We're not being fake and being gentle and kind to somehow manipulate and get people to respond to Christ. If they never take one whiff of the gospel, we're still gentle and kind to them because that's what Jesus people do. The description of gentleness, the description of gentleness, it's a command. It says, let your gentleness. The expression of gentleness, it's to be known to all men. Look at the motivation for sweet reasonableness. That's the end of verse 5. The Lord is at hand. That's our motivation. See, we are to be people of gentleness, and this is a command, and we see the great motivation of why we're to be gentle people is because the Lord is at hand. Now, this phrase, the Lord is at hand, has two meanings, and both work, and both are great motivations. Some believe the Lord is at hand, it's speaking of the rapture and the return of Christ. The Lord is at hand, that word at hand literally means near. It's the word egos, which means near. It means very soon to pass. It means any time. I actually believe that this verse 5 is one of the key scriptures in the Bible that supports the rapture of the church before the great tribulation. It could happen at any moment. See, the motivation we see here is let your gentleness, that we know what that means, be known to all men. It's we express it to others. And the reason why we do that is the Lord is at hand, because we know that Jesus is coming back and we're going to stand before the Lord and give an account of the life we lived as believers at the judgment seat of Christ. In Matthew 12:36, it says, but I say to you, for every idle word that men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. We're going to stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. Remember, that's not heaven or hell. That was settled on the cross, but we're going to give him an account of what we've done with the gospel. Think the Lord is at hand. And I believe what Paul is teaching here, Jesus could return at any second. Imagine if you spoke a word of anger to someone and that anger is right on your lips right the moment Jesus comes and you're there with him. Imagine that you spoke a word of gossip and the rapture happens at that moment. There's a word of gossip on your lips and you're with Jesus. Imagine if you're griping and selfish and sour and boom, Jesus comes back at that moment. We're in the presence of the Lord. And when the Lord returns, we don't want the words of our mouth to be anything that would dishonor him. When he comes back, he will right every wrong. And anyone who's been hateful and mean to you and you've been gentle back to them, we know eventually they're not going to get away with it. This not only speaks one view, the rapture, the return of Jesus, it also speaks of nearness. In other words, the Lord is at hand. That's the second meaning. It's teaching us, reminding us that we're not alone. But he is in us. He is with us. Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, "Lo, I am with you always." In other words, the motivation here is we take Jesus with us everywhere we go. He hears everything that we hear. He sees everything that we see. He, whatever situation we are in, he's there. Many times believers will act in front of Jesus in a way they would never act in front of their parents. Or they would never act in front of their spouse. I had a lady tell me one time, she says, "Pastor Kenny, my husband acts like a totally different person when he's around you." I'm nobody. The point is this, there's never a moment we're not around Jesus. And so if we're not acting gentle, if we're gossiping, if we're angry, if we're bitter, if we're griping, if we're selfish, we've got Jesus right in the middle of that. He's in all that with us. So the motivation for sweet reasonableness is the Lord could come back at any moment. I'm going to give an account to him. The second possible meaning of that is that he's with me everywhere I go. The Lord is near. He's inside of me. And everything I say, see, and do, I'm taking him along for the ride. He is right there with me the entire time. Well, finally, the description of sweet reasonableness, the expression of sweet reasonableness, the motivation for sweet reasonableness, fourth and finally, is this, the submission of sweet reasonableness. The submission. See, you may be sitting here tonight and saying, "I'm not always sweet and reasonable." If you're not sure about that, ask the person next to you if you're always sweet and reasonable, okay? None of us are always sweet and reasonable. So we're sitting here saying, "I'm not always gentle. I'm not always kind. I'm not always ready to forgive. I'm not always, you know, have a long fuse. I'm not always yielding my rights. I'm not always big-hearted. How do I do this? How do I have my gentleness be known to all men because the Lord is at hand?" Well, the answer again is here in verse 5. It's the first word. See, the key word in this verse is, look at the word. The first word is the word let. Let. We got to let. That word let means we got to submit. We have to want to do it. And then we got to let God do it. If I am not living a life of gentleness, it's because I'm not letting God do that in me and through me. Some believers say this when it comes to topics like gentleness or their words or things. I've heard this so many times. It's usually something like this. Quote, "I was born that way. That's me. I can't do it." They wear it like a badge of honor. "Oh, I'm just kind of crusty and rough around the edges. And I'll tell you what I really think. I was just born that way. That's just me. I, you know, can't do anything about it. I can't do it." Let's dissect that phrase. "I was born that way." You'll get no argument from me you were born that way. The Bible says that if you're saved, though, you've been born again. Amen. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. He saved us and he changed us. Saying that, it's basically saying God's not big enough to change me. I was born this way. It's just who I am. You're basically saying God's not big enough to change you. Or the phrase that "I can't do it." Usually when people say "I can't do something," what they really are saying is "I won't do something." When you say "I can't," but the Bible says you can. Because it says "I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me." What's really behind most of the "I can't do it" is the "I won't do it." "I can't forgive" is usually "I won't forgive." "I can't handle my temper" is usually "I won't handle my temper." "I can't be polite" is usually "I won't be polite." The key is the word let. Let. Let God. Submit. Norman Grubb said, "I can't, but he can, therefore I can." Self cannot produce this gentleness. We've got to let. We've got to submit to the Holy Spirit in us. We did an entire series in Galatians 5, 22 and 23 about the fruit of the Spirit. Remember, it's fruit of the Spirit. It's not fruits of the Spirit. It's not these different fruits. It's one like cluster, one fruit. And the eighth fruit on that list is meekness or gentleness. You know, because what God put inside of an apple tree, it's normal and natural that apples are going to grow on the vine or grow off the limb of an apple tree. What's in it, the fruit reveals what's on it by what's in it. It's the same with us. That's what fruit means. God saved us. The Holy Spirit is in us. And you and I don't have to try to do it. We don't have to strive to do it. All we have to do is let. The Holy Spirit in us will produce gentleness on us. He'll produce that if we just let him do it. He will do it. We got to submit ourselves to his will. We must let the Lord do it. Jesus is at hand. He is near. Because he is in you, because he is in me, he is able to do things in you and do things in me. You can do what you think you cannot do, and you can be whom you think you cannot be because Jesus is in you. Whoever you think you cannot be, and whatever you think you cannot do, if you don't think you can be gentle, I'm here to tell you you can if you're a follower of Jesus because Christ is in you. Let him do it. If you're truly saved, if you're truly saved, you know that you're saved. But golly gee whiz, you just can't help yourself. You were just born that way. You're going to tell people what you think. Always kind of crusty and abrasive, kind of mean, always got an edge, kind of sour. Not really polite, obnoxious, but you know you're saved. You know you're saved. Please. You know you're saved, but you just can't help to be obnoxious and rude and nasty and hateful. Please. Please. Isolate yourself indoors. Please. Stay away from other people. Especially, please, if you know you're going to heaven, okay? Stay away from lost people. I'm begging you. If you can't help yourself, stay away from lost people. You're going to heaven. You're okay. You're in. But please isolate yourself because you're not willing to let the Spirit of God change you. And you're determined to be this nasty, obnoxious, mean-spirited, sour person. Please don't harm the spread of the gospel. Don't tarnish the name of Jesus. You're going to heaven. We'll all be in heaven. It's going to be great. I'm begging you, isolate yourself inside your home. Or you could let God change your heart. Just like I still need him to change my heart. Is he in you? He is at hand. He is near. He loves you. And there's never been anyone with more sweet reasonableness, forget golden retrievers, than Jesus Christ. Man, what sweetness. What gentleness. He could have had all the armies of heaven come and wipe out everyone with the wink of his eye. But he died on the cross. You talk about gentleness and kindness and forgiveness. He's at hand. He's near. There's coming a day it will be too late. Say yes to Jesus. Don't turn him down. Trust in him today. Come to him as your Lord and Savior. Sweet reasonableness. Nazir Masih, our dear, dear friend in North India, who now has ALS so bad. You go out in the hallway here and you see the picture of about 100 of the 140 kids that we sponsor in the Christian school there that you sponsor as a church. I remember when they had the dream to build that school. And I remember that not only to build the buildings, but Nazir had to buy the property to build the buildings. Chandigarh, the city that the school is built in, is like Washington, D.C. It's a government city. And the government is very corrupt and very mean. And they charged an outrageous price for Nazir to build this school on the property. They were going to charge him $400,000 for the property. And they worked out a deal where they would give him 10 years at $40,000 a year plus 15% interest. The next year, the government changed their mind. They told Nazir, that they would give him 2 years to pay off the $400,000 at 24% interest. And if he didn't do it, the property and the buildings would be theirs. Then they called him in a third time. They changed their mind again and said, we're going to give you 1 year to pay it all off, or we're going to take the property and the buildings. Nazir prayed and God provided, and they paid that off in 1 year. Then the government came back a fourth time and said, we don't care. We're going to take your property anyway. Nazir appealed to the government. He went to the government's office. He never blew his top. He never stomped. He never shouted. He never pointed a finger. He walked into the government office and he sat in the lobby. They knew why he was there. He sat there for 8 hours. No one spoke to him until they finally said, come back tomorrow. He humbly left. He came back day two. He sat in the lobby for 8 hours. No one spoke to him. They knew why he was there. He never threw a fit. He never yelled. His face never got red. The veins in his neck never popped out. The only thing they said to him was, come back tomorrow. He came back the third day. And all I can tell you is God intervened. He won his appeal with the government. The property is now there. The school's there. And there's about 1,400 children hearing about Jesus every day. Nazir, in a very difficult time, in a very unfair time, he continually practiced gentleness. I think they wanted him to blow his top. They wanted him to go crazy. Then he'd have a reason. But through his gentleness, God worked through that. And more than that, those guys in authority could tell that Nazir Masih belongs to Jesus Christ. You know, tonight's message is really pretty simple. Just think about the fact that you and I were lost sinners, totally depraved from head to toe, nothing about us, none righteous, no, not one. We were absolutely, no doubt about it, going to split hell wide open. No chance we could do anything to make ourselves right with God. Then you think about Jesus, the sinless Son of God, his grace and his mercy, being rejected, being falsely accused, being mocked, being arrested, being spit upon, having his beard pulled out, beaten, crown of thorns, crucified on a cross. All through that time, his sweet gentleness, so we could be saved. And now you think the third thing of where we're at today. If we know Jesus, our sins are forgiven. We're new creatures in Christ. We've got meaning in our life. We've got power to face every day of life. Heaven is coming. When I think about who I was before Jesus, and when I think about what Jesus did for me, tonight's message is really pretty easy. And when I think about who I now am in Christ, certainly, come on now, certainly the one thing as a follower of Jesus I can do in this life. A lot of stuff I can't do. But come on now, who we were and what he did and who we are now, certainly the one thing we all can do is be kind. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that without your kindness and your gentleness and your goodness and your sweet reasonableness and your grace and your cross, we would have no hope. God, I thank you that when we let, as followers of you, when we submit ourselves to you, we don't even have to try to do this gentleness stuff. It just naturally, like an apple growing on an apple tree, that fruit, you will produce it in us and through us when we just surrender ourselves to you. God, we know that it's going to be known to all men. All of us rub circles with a lot of different people. And we can say we go to church, and God, we can have bumper stickers and all those sort of things. But Lord, they are watching our lives. God, we know that. And may they see kindness. You told us that you're at hand, that you're near. Lord, if that means you're returning anytime, if that means you're with us and we take you in everything we do, if it means both of those things, God, what a motivation for your glory to do this. And God, I thank you that this is not a perfect church, Lord. I'm not perfect. None of us are perfect. But Lord, I thank you over 13 years I've been here, how my family has seen so much kindness and gentleness through many of the people in this church. God, thank you for them. God, thank you for the gentleness and kindness. You get all the glory. It's you. And God, we lay ourselves open before you. We're all a work in progress. God, we know all of us can grow in this area of gentleness, this sweet reasonableness. God, help husbands to treat their wives with gentleness. Help wives treat their husbands with gentleness. Help parents to treat their children with your gentleness. Help children to respect their parents with a gentleness that honors you. God, it worked. Lord, I believe after this message that tomorrow we're going to be tested. Either driving on the highway or in the office, something's going to happen that's going to be really easy for us to just kind of lose it. But God, would you help us to win a small victory and just be gentle? Lord Jesus, we know who we used to be, lost in our sins. We know what you did for us, a death on the cross. We know who we now are. Forgiven, new creatures, heading to heaven. And God, none of us in this room can do everything. But Lord, we know through your Holy Spirit, there is certainly one thing that every one of us as followers of you can do. We can be kind. Lord, make it so. Because in that, we know you're glorified. Lord, if there's one here today who has never said yes to you, may they do that even now. Come to you as your Lord and Savior, owning their sins, believing you died and you arose, and coming to you and calling on your name to receive the free gift of eternal life. Jesus, thank you. There's never been a moment you haven't been gentle with us. We love you and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand, please?